As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Chapter 31, verse 6, the book of Deuteronomy. I should like to be able to say something from this subject, which God might own, that you might be helped to live in the light of the truth which it sets forth. It is one thing for a preacher to take a text which enjoins upon the hearers, be strong and of a good courage, fear not. But the preacher has no ability or strength to give you the good courage the subject refers to, or to allay your fears. That must be done by the preacher's master. And that is a truth that needs to be always realized by those of you with ears to hear. That thou givest them, they gather. And so, as the Lord shall help me, I want to look at this subject from two or three viewpoints of it. And first of all, the setting of the subject is very wonderful when you contemplate it, for Moses, Israel's leader, was at the end of his life work. And his life work had been well done. But ere he was taken to heaven, as Israel were at this time about to end their wilderness wanderings and go across Jordan to begin the conquest of the land of milk and honey, the Lord inspired Moses to give to Israel's host what you read in this book of Deuteronomy. And wonderful reading it is. It would do you good if you take the trouble to read it again and again, and not just read it cursorily, but ponder in your heart some of the things referred to, some of the wonderful things Israel's God was pleased to do throughout the wilderness wanderings of Israel as a nation. And it may be, as you read the book of Deuteronomy, and you're helped to read it aright, you will see how very ill-behaved Israel as a nation oft times were. And though God so often made his goodness pass before them in the way they had to go, yet they often made manifest what they were by nature, and his chastening and came upon them as a consequence. And it will be well if when you read how Israel behaved, if you think upon how oft times in your behavior you have no stone to throw at Israel of old. You and I have not always behaved as we have known in our consciences, our judgments, that it became us to do. And we have often brought mischief on our heads by some unwary steps. And while the goodness of God to us is more than tongue can tell, there have been times when you have fretted and murmured and rebelled, like Israel did long ago. But then God had declared concerning Israel of old that they should inherit the land of promise. And so you read concerning their journeying from Egyptian bondage until at length they did dwell in that land. To the land of Canaan they went forth, to the land of Canaan they came. God was faithful, and his word to them, as it is to you and me, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And now, looking at this subject, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Moses is warning Israel as a nation what they would meet as they went forward in their conquest of the land of promise. But here is a wonderful guarantee that as they went forward, God had guaranteed to go with them. Therefore, there could be no question but what God had promised concerning Israel and their dwelling in the land of promise would be fulfilled under Joshua's leadership. But I do not want to say overmuch about Israel as a nation. I want to address you, all of you, who have a hope in God that you belong to that people designated in the Word of God, the Israel of God. The Israel of God means all those, irrespective of denominational label, wherever they are, whatever their age, of whom it can be said, behold, an Israelite indeed. And now that is what many of you desire to be. You might not be bold enough and have enough good courage to definitely declare that you are such a character, but that is what you do indeed desire to be. And now this is the word of the Lord to you as you are here in the attitude of worship. Be strong. What does that really mean? You cannot impart spiritual strength so that you can go forth by day and night to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. I judge it to mean, be strong in hope. Like the psalmist when he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And you remember, it is said of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. And I have often admired the hymn writer's words, all through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul. Be strong in hope. as though Moses should say to Israel of old, do remember the miracles you have seen in your wilderness wanderings. And do remember, you will see yet more miracles as you go forward to dwell in the land of promise. And keep that thought uppermost. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong. It simply means, be not afraid, only believe. I said, it simply means. But that is a very deep down experience and exercise of mind to be able to live like that. Be not afraid, only believe. Lord, increase our faith is how you must feel, you and I. Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell. Who can give us faith? And now, that should be our concern, as good Mr. Coble used to say often in his public prayer. Lord, help us to believe what we do believe. Be strong. Do not forget what the Lord has done. And that which the Lord has done will never be undone. He hath delivered, he doth deliver, and we trust he will yet deliver us. That is the attitude, and that is the frame of mind to be found in, to be strong. But I want to look at the subject more from this viewpoint. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not. And now it might be this Sabbath morn, some of you are here before God, and you feel a long way from being of good courage concerning your case, your circumstances, yet you should be of good courage if you are here with a case. And if in your circumstances, though they are very complicated, and you are feeling many fears regarding the outcome, and saying, O Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And now the fact that you are here like that, you should be of good courage, because the dead know not anything. It is the living that will lay these things to heart. And I said at the outset that this word is especially applicable to the Israel of God nowadays. And you remember how it was that Jacob's name was changed to Israel when he found he was possessed of such faith that he said concerning the man who wrestled with him, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And now, that is the frame of mind you must seek to be found in. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But now, coming to this question of good courage, mark the adjective good. It is not that courage which men possess, naturally given to them as they were born, whereby they can be brave and bold and do great things and things to admire and for which they are to be commended. No, it means God-given courage. Oh, this courage is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. But, dear friends, I come to this conclusion that there should be something more manifest in our lives than often seems to be along the lines of the him right her when he said, "Thy love in times past forbids me to think thou wilt leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms thy good pleasure to carry me right through." But so often, when things come, when every day new straits attend, and down you go into a discouraged state, you walk in obscurity and darkness of mind, and you cannot see these things which the Lord has done for you, and when they were done, you could rejoice and be glad and feel it is the Lord's doings and it is marvelous in our eyes. You may be in a discouraged state, some of you this Sabbath morn. You may be the subject of fears. You may say, "That is the truth as to how I feel. I have fears. I want to be assured that I belong to those people of whom you were speaking about, the Israel of God. And my concern is that the Lord will grant me some sweet assurance as to my interest therein, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God." And now I will ask you a question. If that is how you feel, and have you always felt like that? Let your conscience tell you, as it will do, tell you the truth if it is in working order. I say before God, have you always felt like that? And you know that it may be quite a few years you came up to the house of God, maybe driven there by parental discipline, and you never did feel like that, that you had some concern that you might be found among the Israel of God, so that therein you can take courage, inasmuch as you can say, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see." And this "fear not" is applicable to you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. The soul that with sincere desire seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. But many people nowadays, and sometimes I think it is a kind of reaction from the perilous times in which we are living, many people, though they are indeed taught of God, are often found in a discouraged state because of things within and things without. And yet, if you could only view the matter in heaven's own light, there is 10,000 times 10,000 more in Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend to encourage you to trust in him at all times and pour out your heart before him than there can ever be in any discouraged state you may be the subject of. You may feel, in your case, your circumstances, that you are helpless. But this is what you should think about. Oh, you are not hopeless. You have God to go to. You are welcome to go. The whole of the Word of God in its exceeding great and precious promises emboldens you and encourages you to do as I have said. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Yes. God is a refuge for us. And that you will prove. It may be you have a fear and you are discouraged because as yet you cannot feel as you would like to feel. Your interest in the things of God made definite and clear cut. You think of Calvary's cross and what was done thereon, and it may be the adversary seems to gain some advantage over you, and you have your fears and you are discouraged, lest it cannot be that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for such a sinner as you feel to be. And now this is the way, and walk ye in it. Did Jesus die, and not for me? Am I forbade to seek my God? Is there not pardon full and free proclaimed through Jesus' precious blood? Yes, there is. And that is the foundation truth here. To encourage you, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of the ifs and buts and hows that threaten to sink you in the gloom of all that's dismal in this world or in the world to come. You may be discouraged because of the way you're going along, and you find therein much opposition. How do you feel it to be opposition? It comes from earth, comes from within, comes from hell itself. I ask again, how do you feel it? Poor sinner, you are a living fish going up the stream. Yes, swimming against the current. And it is because there is something wrought in you that God has been pleased to make known. He which hath begun the good work in you, he will carry it on. But it is always carried on in the midst of opposition from earth and hell without, and what you are by nature within. And there are two things there I would make a comment on. I remember how surprised I was many years ago in reading Joseph Hart's hymn, where he says, mighty enemies without, much mightier within. I pondered it, thought on it, and I felt that it was indeed the truth. Yet it is surprising. You think of the world without, and think of hell, and think of the great adversary without. But what you are by nature within is mightier. And now that is a truth that you learn, and in learning it, you are often discouraged, because you look within and contemplate what you are by nature is so churned up with conflict and emotions that the question arises, can ever God dwell here? But there is a word to help you. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Sinner, if thou art taught to see how great thy guilt, thy misery, in every thought and act impure, the blood of Christ thy soul can cure. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of what you are by nature, though it makes you sigh and cry often, behold, I am vile. No sinner needed mercy more that ever sought God's face. But this is wherein you should be of good courage. There is mercy to be known. Oh, yes, There is help in God for you. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. What do you sing sometimes? Oh, if you would only think more about it. What though bad is your condition, and your wounds you can't endure, Christ, the sinner's wise physician, will effect a perfect cure. He is Jehovah Rophi, the Lord which healeth. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Hey, but you may have a fear as to what the Lord is about to do with you in his dealings. And he may have laid affliction upon you. Or you may have come into some adverse circumstances. But then, whatever the future unfolds, the Lord will not change in how he deals with you from what he has done in his dealings with you in your past experience. Do remember that. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to carry me right through. Much might be said along that line of thought. But there is another fear. Some of us are in our latter days, old and grey-headed, and we have many thoughts, many searchings of heart, and we do sometimes have some fears. And we can understand the hymn writer when he said, and remember, he did know what he was talking about, "My fears sometimes say I never shall find in death's gloomy day true peace to my mind." And now there is one warning I must give you, dear people, and that is neither you or I must look to have dying grace held in reserve for when our dying hour shall come. We do not know which day is to be our dying day, but he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And while you may have many fears as to how matters will fall out when your dying day should dawn, you will find that word regarding the dear Saviour in the Hebrews epistle to be a sweet, blessed reality. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage." This word is applicable to such a case. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And now remember where Jesus did go. He went up on Calvary's cross and he died in the stead of poor sinners like you and I. And we have to keep this in mind, that the outcome of that wonderful work that was wrought on Calvary's cross is that when you and I come down to die, if we do belong to the Israel of God, and I leave the if with you, we shall find, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We shall find this good courage. We shall find our fears allayed. We shall find dying grace in a dying hour, and not till then. Oh, to feel like good Asaph when he said, "Though my heart and my flesh fail, God is the strength of my life and my portion forever." I could not tell you, dear friends, from the pastor's viewpoint, what sweet feelings I have had sometimes, standing by the grave to see all that is mortal of the Israel of God well laid in the grave. It gives you such a sweet, wondrous confidence of the reality of the things of God. And I can tell you, it gives a pastor unspeakable pleasure to be helped of God to do it. Yes. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. And now let us look at the subject from another viewpoint. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. I've often thought about Israel of old in their wilderness wanderings, when the worship of God was instituted and the tabernacle was set up in the midst of Israel's camp. Every Israelite, I have no doubt quite a few did, but every Israelite could, if he wished to do, go to his tent door every morning and look to where the tabernacle was and see the cloud rising up from above the mercy seat, or spreading Israel's camp. And that was a guarantee. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And you all know, you do not need to be told, that when that cloud rose up and moved on, then the Israelites had to strike their tents and follow where the cloud was leading to the next resting place. And now that is a beautiful picture, but it sets forth he who is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was born, a babe in Bethlehem? As you read the record of it, it is also said not only that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, but this is the name whereby he shall be called: Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, how that great truth is overlooked by many of us. How little do you and I realize in our everyday lives the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And yet, whether you realize it or not, the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Therefore, whatever your discouragements may be, whatever your fears, there is no foundation for either. No. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And now it means that the Lord thy God is with thee in the path of everyday life, whatever that pathway may be. It may be a path of affliction is allotted to you. But then you read in Isaiah a lovely scripture: in all our afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his pity and in his love he redeemed them and bare them and carried them all the days of old. And this affliction, if that is the pathway God has ordained, or if it should be a path of adversity, if it should be a path of suffering, or if it should be that you walk in darkness and have no light, or if it should be some fiery trial and you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, this word holds good. Whatever your pathway may be as to its nature, the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He is a Saviour of quick understanding. And he can sympathize, he can succor, and he is able to save, able to deliver, yea, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. But there is this proviso: I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do these things. This is a wonderful word in its comprehensiveness. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And he does not go only that he may keep his eye upon you to do you good. That is a great word. I will set mine eyes upon them to do them good. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, make darkness light, breaking sunder the bars of iron. Yes, much might be said from that viewpoint. For I, the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And remember, he goes with you not only to see that you go in the right way, as he leads you therein, but there is to be instruction given you. And if discipline is needful, he will make it known and teach you. If my people transgress, I will visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. But above all, he it is that doth go with thee, and that is to preserve thee from all that may oppose, whether it be to do with earth or hell, things within, things without. Then there is another viewpoint of the subject. Whenever a pilgrim is set going in this way of life and is on the stretch for the land of promise, a pilgrim to Canaan bound of a truth, whatever the age may be, the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, whether it be in life's morning, afternoon, or even in time. Some of you, dear young people, are in life's morning, and you have begun to follow on to know the Lord, and you find these difficulties do arise, and sometimes things surprise you, and you may be discouraged at what you meet from earth or hell, and what you find well enough at times arising from what you are by nature. But at all times, Jesus Christ is a God ready to pardon. And the word of the Lord is, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is a verse in the hymn Abide With Me that is not usually printed in the hymn books, and I often wish it was. Thou on my head in early youth did smile, and though rebellious and perverse meanwhile, thou hast not left me, oft as I've left thee, unto life's close, O Lord, abide with me. That is what this scripture means, dear friends. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, even to old age. I am he, I have made, and I will bear, and I will carry. And sometimes you sing about it. E'en down to old age, my people shall prove my faithful, eternal, unchangeable love. Oh, do try to think on this word and see if you can get some help by the way, some good for your soul. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And remember, when Israel of old left the wilderness at length to cross over Jordan, oh, how often I have told you this, but not too often. It is not vain repetition. Remember how the priest went down into the river bed and stood there in the bottom of Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders till all Israel had passed clean over Jordan. Think how long that must have taken. 2 million odd of people. But there the priest stood, and the riverbed was dry, and they went over dry shot, and none of their enemies were allowed to be there to hinder the crossing. Do remember that. You read in Exodus a very striking word, and you really must take notice of the illustrations which the Holy Spirit uses. And he says, fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And now, there you see a guarantee for all the Israel of God. When they come down to die, they may not leave a dying testimony. And while that is precious to have, at the same time I think too much importance has been made of it. But whether there is a dying testimony or no, you will find every one of the Israel of God will have a clean passage through the Jordan of death and a safe arrival at the celestial city. Here is the guarantee. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The thing is impossible. Not as the world the Saviour loves. He is no fickle friend. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. He will not fail thee. And now you might think of this word in your everyday life from this viewpoint. He will not fail thee at the mercy seat, for that mercy seat is set up, and God reigns on it. And he has said, I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. And who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you in your approaches to it? Think of that word in Malachi. Prove me now. Now. Herewith. And see if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and let you down such a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. A poor sinner like you, venturing through the mercy seat, a welcome is guaranteed. Whatever your fears or faintings or discouragements may be as you go, and how the devil may throw you down and tear you, as he did the lunatic lad. But him that cometh unto me, I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. He will not fail thee either regarding the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, for it is still a blessed reality and provable every day. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That rich atoning blood which sprinkled round I see, provides for all who come to God an all-prevailing plea. Another thing to think about, and you need to think about that every day, and that is, He will not fail thee regarding the Word of God as your help to find out what saith the Scriptures. Therein are exceeding great and precious promises, and they're all available for every condition, every case, every state in which you may be found as you journey on through life. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And then I might add, He will not fail thee either. Wherever the gospel table is spread, as you are found there, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you will find in His time His way. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that is how you come to worship God, if you come aright. I thirst and hope to find a portion for my soul, and He will not fail thee. The gospel of the grace of God is to be preached on purpose, that it shall be known by the Israel of God as the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. He will not fail thee either in what He has declared regarding His all-wise providence. And what did He say to Israel? Bread shall be given, water shall be sure. I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, that you might be helped to say, and the preacher too, what the psalmist declared, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen.